Holding in Siman Shin Nun Ches, so we did Sif Aleph and Beis, but we had to go back to Mishnah Berurah on Sif Aleph, Sif Katan Yud Gimel.
Hold. Your Shin Nun Ches?
Yeah.
Which?
Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Yud Gimel.
Yud Gimel.
Okay, so we saw in Sif Beis that the definition of Makavas Chayma, L'Shem Dira, means that you built the dwellings, and then you enclose the area. If you enclose the area first, and then you build the dwellings, that's not called when you made the hakafa. When you enclosed it, it wasn't the place of deer yet. So adding the houses afterwards doesn't change that status. So the Ramah said, take a look later on in Siman Taf Aleph whether stamayoris are makafas the deer or not. So Mishnah Berurah Yud Gimel says, Pirish, Hechad, Sheyes, Chayma, Sabiv, Lihir. So it has a wall. So what do we assume that the status of this wall is? V'vurashom, the Minastam, Amrina, the Mukhuk of the Dira. We assume, unless we know otherwise, we assume that the order was that they built the homes, or at least some of the homes, and then they built the wall. Then Derech Lahakiv, Ela, Acher, Shabonu, Habati, Mitkila. Then the standard procedure was to build the homes and then build the wall. So therefore the order is batim and then the wall. So the wall was put there to enclose the dwellings which already are there. That's called its mukaf l'shem dira, which means you're allowed to carry inside of there. So you're allowed to assume that that's the order in the year. Now, then the Yesharman says that Stam Kafiva Shalona are Mikri Mukaf Ladira.
In the ear?
The city, yeah. The Stam Kafifas. So that's point number one. Point number two, the Ramah brings an opinion which says that Stam Karfif, the when you have a bias which opens into it, and you have the karfif, you could assume that the order was the correct order of the bias, then the walls. Pirish pesach habayis besuch lehem, a karfif which has access to a home, or home has access to the karfif. We can assume that the order was the order which would make it mutter, because that was what was rogel, the regilim, that they would make that connection before they close the area. You're not sure if they enclosed the areas first and then they built the homes, or they built the homes and then they enclosed the area. The second one being that you already have a dwelling place and now you're enclosing that area, so that's an enclosure for dwelling which you're allowed to carry in. The first way, the enclosure was there before the homes, and therefore that's called an enclosure, not for dira, even though you're intended to build dira eventually, but right now it's not an enclosure for dira. So if it's over the size of the base of Sayim, you cannot carry. Then building the homes afterwards doesn't make a mutter. So if nobody remembers what the order was, so you're allowed to assume, b'zeh kasav, the roiv kafiva shalonim hukfu achar binyan abatim, the tashmishay abatim. The normal way that these were built was they would build the homes and then make the enclosure. Therefore, we can assume that. Now, v'davar pasha hu d'lav kolohu b'chol mokam b'chol zman, v'yeshiras b'zeh b'zmanenu l'fi minig hamakamis. So the Ramah is just saying a comment. This was a standard practice, the way people used to do it in his time. Therefore, you have a right to assume that. It's not a binding minig. It might change at any given time or place. The order, the way people do it, might change, and then it's not. We would no longer have this to be relied upon.
If that's the practice of a specific time, or were you saying that over all time the kafifas were made, more of them were made in this way?
Well, the lashon of the Ramah was some kafifas shalonu. It's ours. He's not saying this is any type of assumption, you know, for the future or for the past. He's just saying, at his time, now he's quoting Mordechai, Right? So apparently he feels that whatever the Mordechai said in the time of the Mordechai
was
still true in the time of the Ramah. There's a 250 year gap between the Mordechai and the Ramah.
Right. I was wondering if, because Shalana doesn't necessarily mean that it was created right now. It means that are existing. It could mean that it exists right now, seeing some kafir could have been around for a long time.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's probably true.
So the Mordechai was right around the year roughly 1250.
The Mordechai was the second half of the 1200s. Yeah. And the Ramah was the beginning of the
1500s.
Beginning of 1500s. Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that Mordechai referred to Mordechai from the story of, you know, the Shushan story, the story of Esther.
That would be much earlier.
Yeah, obviously.
Now, what I just want to point out an interesting point over here in Hilchos Rov. He says that Rov Karfivas are made like that, and therefore you can assume that. So the simple understanding would be that would be based on the concept of Rov. That's the way it's done normally. There's an important Ran. And this is totally not relevant, just a more important round to understand about Rove. So the Ran says, I mean, there's two types of Roves. The more refers to them as a Ruba de Isakamon and a Ruba de Lesakamon. Ruba de Isakamon, the more example is you have 10 stores in the city selling meat, 9 selling kosher meat, 1 selling non-kosher meat. So it's actually in front of us. We have the Rove visible in front of us. That's called Ruba de Isakamon. It's here in front of us. That's a valid halachic Rove. There's also something called Ruba de Lesakamon, which means the Mordechai says Rov Behemus Aksheris. We're not lining up all the animals in the world in front of us and saying, okay, here wherever the animals in front of us right now are kosher or not kosher. We're saying that the nature of how the world works, Rov Behemus Aksheris. Right? Matter of fact, we don't necessarily even have to make a poll. That the Mordechai tells us this is the way the world works, that the Mordechai is giving me a natural. So there's a run in Kedushin. In the third parak, the more discusses, no, in the second parak, the more discusses the issue that people used to send something called sivlornis, more nafnun. People would send presents. And the more discusses the concern that maybe we have to be concerned that maybe when they were engaged and then the man would send the woman this present, maybe he meant it not for as a present, but for Kedushin purposes. So, do we have to be concerned about the possibility? The Morris says you do, because the Morris says not only do you do have to be concerned about the possibility of Kedushin, but even in a place where the Rav people first send the presents and do the Kedushin later, we have to, and some people do the Kedushin first and the presents later, you have to be Chosh and Yimat L'Shem Kedushin. So, Ron asks, what happened to Rav? You just told me there's a Rav. Rav people are Mesavli V'Hadar Mikachi. They send the Sivloinus. The presence, and they send the Kedushin later on. They would do Kedushin Ayin Shteyat, that wasn't a kasher, but that was a standard. The main thing was an Nisuin, which could be a gap of years between the Kedushin and Nisuin, potentially. But
is there a time limit on the interval between Kedushin and Nisuin? Once
either party makes a request that they want to move forward towards Nisuin, there's a time limit.
What's the time limit?
So for a Pasula, it's a year. For a woman who's married before, it's 30 days. But that's once they make the request they want to move forward, either party. But if neither party makes the request, they can stay in that state of Kedushin until they're ready for Nisuin. Okay.
And what happens?
So the question is, the Rana Sakasha, if you're talking about Roy people send the presents first, and this is the first thing that he sent, he probably sent it as a present, not as a Kedushin. So why are you Choshish? He meant L'Hashem Kedushin. So the Ran says that whether people are Masavli V'Hadar Mekachi, or Mekachi V'Hadar Masavli, is a convention. It's not a natural instinct, one way or the other. Either way is a valid way for people to act. So since it's a convention, any given time, the convention can change. It can change from, and most people send the Sivlonis first, to people send the Kedushin first. So that's not a halachic valid Rav. The Ravs, which are a Ruba de Lesakamon, which is valid, is only because there's a natural inclination towards a certain way. So therefore, we have a right to assume that whatever has been until now will continue to be as such. But a roiv, which is just a convention, and there's no reason why you should do one more than the other, then that is not a binding halachic roiv. So when you say over here, roiv people, they build the karfifas, the order is going to be that they first build the homes and then they enclose it. It can't work as the simple concept according to Ran of roiv, because that's not a binding roiv. But he's saying that the nature, the most nowadays, this is the way the people felt that this is a good way to deal with it. There's a logical way to deal with it, is that you would build your homes and then you enclose them. So the same way we say by a city, we assume that's mastama how it's done. So I think that's what he means, that we have to make an assumption. Okay.
Can I ask a
fascinating
question?
Point, very so important.
So then it becomes a valid rule for the run because it becomes a national foundation? So
yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's not just because it's a convention.
But we're not saying it was universal now.
What?
So that we're saying Rukhlas Kamar is not a universal, eternal type of inclination. Even that could be the time.
I think so, yeah. Right. As long as there's some level of inclination towards it, yeah.
Forgive me. If somebody wants to move forward with the wedding,
you're still back.
I'm fixed on that for some reason. What happens if the 30 days or the year is violated? If they don't get it done in that time period?
So the Mora talks about that there's, you know, so the husband will be forced to take financial obligations toward the wife, if he's the one who's delaying.
Yeah.
So certain financial obligations would take place, but Nisuan will evolve upon him, even though he didn't do the Nisuan. So thereby saying there's no reason to wait because you're going to get the financial obligations anyway. And vice versa, you know, so the Mora talks about there's going to be some type of a monetary impact on the parties.
And if the woman is the one who's delaying, I mean, what kind of monetary impact would there be on her?
The case where the woman is delaying, I'm not recalling right now, but there's the more says something. I don't remember the details. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Now, that the next step, the Ramah said that some people say when you have a carpet which is samach lebeisoy, it's a hook of ladira kidaita eluye. So now this is really a new point. So hook of ladira we're saying has multiple points about them which are all true. One is that we discussed the order. And the second one is that it has to be. We saw that it has to be a tashmish, which is made for tashmish of the bias. It has to be a tashmish, which is some level of tadiris we saw before in the Bir Locha. Right. So what about? Can I make any type of assumption based on the proximity of this karfif to the home that we're going to say, assume that there's going to be enough of a usage, which is. It's constant enough that code's called Mukav Ladira. So he says, in a case where the Karfif is, which is Samach Lebeisoy, that's what we assume. But some disagree with that. Samach Lebeisoy. So what's the definition of Samach Lebeisoy? Mishnah Berurah says, V'holshu Samach Le'ir, Mikri Samach Lebeisoy L'Deyazu. So there, you can have a situation, you have you own a piece of property, which is far distance from the city. So you go out there occasionally. That's going to be a mook. That you don't live there, and it's a person uses it occasionally for whatever reason. He goes out there. That's not mook of ladira. But if you have the same type of situation where you're the same size property, which is immediately adjacent to the city, you're going to be going out there on a regular basis and using it for your benefits, etc. That's called mook of ladira, because daiti iluya. Now. We still have the other consideration. There has to be there's an order issue that you have to first build your bias, and then the karfif, and close the karfif. Dafka shabona bias achakach hikif. So what's the chiddush over here? We've been saying until now the definition of a karfif, which is hukav ladira, is that there's direct access from the bias into the karfif. So yeah, that's going to be a normal flow in and out of between the house and the karfif, etc. That's called part of hukav ladira. It's part of you, the way you dwell in your house is taking advantage of the karfif. But over here, there's no direct access from your house into the karfif. There's no door opening from the house into the karfif. So they say even so, filahach kimin shehis smuchol the harbe. It's immediately adjacent to the city. Daite iluye. So we assume that he planned to use it regularly to take advantage of this piece of property that he owns, And it'll be part of the way he dwells in his house. It's going out and storing things there, bringing things in from there, taking things out of there, etc. Yesh chalkim b'zeh l'day zu, filo b'smuchu mamesh l'beisoy, kosha posuk l'beisoy hukiv, loy mahani. See, we're going to look at today. So we pass like the second opinion that this doesn't work. It's only if there's a direct access from the house into the karfiv. And again, the house was built first with its access points to the area. And then you enclose the area to allow you to extend the dwelling of the home by making the safe area, which is now enclosed and safe to use. So you're being makif at ladira. So that's what's going to allow it to get it in of a karfif that you're allowed to carry in it, even if it's larger than the shear of base aside. Now.
So this brings up the good sex partner question, doesn't it?
What? What's the question?
Even if it's not made with the intent of the books, it's not chased in anybody's hands.
Correct.
So you're saying what? You can't walk in
the... No, there's not the question of not walking, the question is carrying.
Can you carry anything there?
So the
It's within the Arab though, no? I mean,
okay, so Zev is jumping the gun a little bit. I'll explain to you his question. In other words, the next step over here, we were saying if you have a karfif, which is not hook of ladira, you're not allowed to carry in it. Okay, now what would be in a scenario where, so the scenario which we're talking about over here is you have this large field, which you put a fence around it, it's 10 tefachim high, but since it's so large, in people's mind, it's perceived more like a karmelis, and since it's not part of the direct usage of the home, people perceive it like a karmelis, and you're not allowed to carry there. So, even though it's enclosed, you may not carry there. So that's the scenario over here where the field is it's its own distinct unit. What about if I create an area around a city, and then I have a karfif, which is not hook of ladira, in the middle of my city, without any walls between it and the rest of the city? It's part of the larger walled area. So does the fact that there's a karfif there in the city, which the city itself is hook of ladira, but there's an area in the city which is not hook of ladira. Let's say, for example, there's we'll see later on, if there's you have a field which is growing grains. So it's not called hook of ladira because you don't want people walking there. It's not made for tiyul, etc., because you don't want people walking there. So and that's over base asayim. So would that invalidate the rest of the Erev? You can't carry anywhere in the Erev. So that's a discussion which is a discussion. And the Minhag HaMani Poskim historically was to be Mekel. In Europe, they were Mekel on it. Rashi Reb Chaim told me beferish that this was you go through the Sugya of Gemara, it's Masha, it is a problem. You know, it's more the Pshat seems to be much more inclined towards being a problematic than being non-problematic. But he told me that historically in Europe, they always were Mekel on it. They didn't see it as an issue.
Within the area itself.
So you're saying
what?
Within the area itself, as the Butzai Garden itself is.
Well, there's two steps. Once you can't carry there, it then invalidates the rest of the area.
Right, but is it true that you can't carry there? So now
the question is, if you hold that it's not problematic, so something which is be'etzim, not a tashmishadim, like the place where it's zeruah, so that you can't carry. And chadam, you shouldn't be carrying in the fields. But over here, if you hold it's not a problem because tiyul is part of the tzarchi adam, so even though there's no house immediately adjacent to it, there's a house immediately adjacent to the whole city. So the house is opening up into the city, and this is all part of the city. That it's all, it's one big muk of ladira. So now I have to dan, does a ta, what comes and make it creates a problem to that. So I have a place which is drinking water, not a problem. Like you said, let's see later on. That's called a tash, which we need to have water available. I have water which is not used, which is not potable, or it has zeroyim, or it has those is where the person would say it would be problematic. A place which is made for tiyul, which is sarchi adam, so this is part of the houses which are the city is a big mukaf ladira, and this is also part of the mukaf ladira because you want to be metayel there. So the tiyul is considered a. Rav Hanneman told me he holds that golf courses are not a problem. Even though they have water traps, which are not potable, that's part of how you play the game. So even though you would have a large water trap, you would have a tree area, which at the point of the tree area is to me inaccessible, so you can't walk there, so that becomes like a, not a hook of a dira, but that's how you play the game. See, hell, that's not a problem. That was a very interesting thought process. We're jumping a gun. We're going to see more information about it as we go through the simon. So the basic concept, I only want you to walk away with understand the basic concept, not all the details, because the details, it's a lot of information to absorb at one time. So the basic point we're saying, right now, we're discussing not that scenario, but simply you have a simple area, which the whole area is for one purpose, whatever it is, and it has a closure around it, but since it's larger than the base of Sayim, you may only carry there if it's hook of Ladira. So now we want to know, and we're saying that one opinion says, if it's adjacent to your home, even though there's no access directly from the home to the field, that's still called hook of Ladira. And one of the second opinion says, no, it's not. We paskin that that's like the second opinion, that if there's no direct access from the bias to the field, that's not called hook of Ladira, you cannot carry in there.
So,
yes.
Halacha l'maisa.
No halacha l'maisa. I'm not talking halacha l'maisa right now. There are going to be 57 different pratim about it throughout the siman. So why should we halacha l'maisa now? We're here to learn, not to paskin. If you want to paskin, you don't have to come learn all the mishaburas. Just halacha l'maisa, the city eruvin, most city eruvin do not are not makbid on having a karfif in the middle of it.
They're not makbid. So you're saying essentially it's okay to walk to the Brookside Gardens and carry while there.
That is, I'm saying Brookside Gardens is not, it's considered mukaf ladira. It's there, it's made for the tashish of people to enjoy themselves and take a walk. But that, if you would wait, you would find out about how to get through the siman. But what's called a valid tashmish of a person. We haven't discussed what a valid tashmish is. So.
I just want to know, because I walked to the Brookside Gardens on Shabbos, and
okay,
do I need to do tshuva for this, or is
yes, it? you should say at least 17 alchets. It's not a problem. Okay.
That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, thank you.
You know, call me crazy.
No, I'm not calling you crazy. It's just like I like learning things, and I like learning information step by step, and then it makes sense. I try to get everything at one time, it just doesn't work. I don't like teaching like that.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You're saying you build up information. I can't give you 70 pieces of information like a Baruch Hashem does with Babas Achas. I have to do them one at a time. Well, you won't know the final answer until you hear all 17. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to solve that problem? Right? So that's what I'm trying to say. I prefer teaching it that way because it's people can absorb information one step at a time.
But the point of information is so you can make changes in your life to be a better person.
That is true, but we're not disagreeing. Okay. Your test. So we said over here in Sif Beis, so the definition of Mukaf Ladira is you built the bias, or the house is already there and there was a field which you would like to then enclose, but you first made an access point from the house to the field. And then you enclose the area. By bias duration, this goes in both cases. You built a bias there, or you had a bias there and you made an access point from the bias to this area. Klemmer, the bein shabon a bias boisim mokum. Whether you, either scenario number one, you built a house, and then you enclose the area around the house or adjacent to the home. Oisim mokum achakach kifah lo oisim mokum nimsa bias b'mtsiyosu. So the house is going to be enclosed in the middle of this area. Or Ben Shabbat Abayis Edsel Oisim Mokum Pasul Pesach Hakach Kifoy. Or alternatively, you have a house which is not in the middle; it's off to the side. So I have a house, and adjacent to the house, there's a field. Okay, and at the beginning, there was no access from the house to this field. Upasul Loi Pesach, and so he made an access point. He built a doorway from his home into the field. And then he encloses the field. It's either scenario, it's called mukav l'shem dira. L'shem tashmish dira, he kifa, since there already was a dwelling place there, so he is living here, so he's now making access and enclosing this area to be able to use it for the needs that he has as part of dwelling in the house, as they have an access to be able to go outside and do things, etc. If he first enclosed it and then he built a home, so the house is already there, but the back, let's say the back of the house had no door, and there's a field adjacent to that back. He encloses the field, and then afterwards he breaks through and makes an access point from the house to that field behind his house. But since when he closed the field, there was no access from the house, so this wasn't part of the extension of the tashmish of the house. So that's not called mukav l'dira. Mikri hikif shalo shev dira. It's called you enclose it, not for dira purposes. The mukav lo sol l'tashmish tara l'bayis. Because since the access, when you enclose it, there was no house at all, or there was no access from the house to this place, means you do not perceive this as being something which is there for the purpose of being mishamash or bayis. Because there's no bayis, or there's no access from the bayis. Even later on, you change your mind. Later on, you change that reality, it's too late. Let's say you had intent, mamish beferish, your plan was when you built it, you know, listen, I'm planning to build a house. I want to close the area first, make it safe, and then I'll build the house in the middle. And the purpose of the enclosure is to be able to use it as the chotzer for the house. I enclose the backyard, which has no access between the back of the house and that place, planning to make an access point, but I want to first enclose it and then build the access point. It's safer, whatever reason, whatever it might be. So maybe we could be makel. Mr. Burr is saying that this is so. So it's interesting that the Moshe Dirsha brings over here from a Chazanish. The Chazanish takes it and says that it all depends on what standard usage. If the standard usage of these type of things is for the shame dira of the bias, so then your intent puts you, even though you did it in this order, but you're going to be using it the way most people use it, that's called hukav l'dira. But if most people don't use it, the hukav l'dira, and you didn't build it in that order, the fact that you intend to do that is not going to be sufficient enough. He makes that differentiation. So something like a person would have a courtyard, a chotzer, that's a very normal extension of the usage of the bayis. So the fact that you built the chotzer first and the bayis second, if that was your plan, that makes sense, and that's called hukav l'dira. Okay. But a case for something which is, the usage is not so common, see, even if that was his intent, it's not going to be sufficient. Chof. Now, if it wasn't closed already, not for the purpose of dira, so therefore you cannot carry there, and you want to change it to make it mukav l'dira, so what do you do? Imhoyim mukav. Now you want to change that. So that's the correct yirsa. If you look at the printing of the Sefer of Shulchan Aruch, which was printed together with the Sefer Erle Shabbos, that's the language which is found. Um, In other words, we have the gifts of Ritzel Hakifer Lidira. The Shabur says the Ritzel Hakifer Lishem Dira. He has the word Lishem Dira. Oh, a lady shared today? Right here. Okay. So he adds that word Lishem Dira. He says, if you look at the, in the printing of the Shulchan Aruch, which is with the Pirush, Ola Shabbos, the Prince of Shulchan Aruch and the Lashon of the Torah, they have the word Lashem. Kabbalah, Shli Shamash Ata Behekav Zeh Bekvius, El Shenam Moyo, the Binan Shiu, Amichita Suyas Lashem Zeh. So he's planning to use it, but he has a problem that they weren't built in the right order. So what do you do? So what should you do? I think we need to move. Mrs. Price, what time is Shir? Mrs. Price?
What time is Shir?
8:15. Okay, so let's move over.
Where?
To the outside. Baby was born early, so it's not clear when it's going to be. So we're still waiting. Hopefully, we'll know by tomorrow what this code is. Baruch Hashem. Thank you. Okay. Pick a table. Thank you. Four 13. Sorry about that. Forgot about the reading. Okay. So what should you do? So what's the solution? So the solution is to take away the fence and rebuild the fence. That's the solution. So she says you don't have to take away the whole fence, but you have to break through the fence enough that it's no longer considered enclosed. It's considered a pirtza. And once that's true, when you then re-enclose it, you're enclosing it l'shem dira. So how big is that? So how big is that? A pirtza which is greater than 10 amis is considered a pirtza.
What's the case?
The case we're talking about over here.
What?
That you want to redo it l'shem dira.
What was it?
The person built the enclosure before the bayis. So we're saying that that's considered not mukav l'shem dira. Now he builds the bayis and he would like to carry inside the enclosure. So he can't carry there because it wasn't built the shame dira, because there's no bias yet. So he wants to correct that problem. So the solution is yifritz boy. There's our lifritz called goy by kosa adlamat. You don't have to break even the area where your parrots, so you don't have to get rid of the whole wall. You have to get rid of 10 plus amas. Even that, you don't have to get rid of the whole wall. You just have to break it down to under the height of 10 tvachim. Once it's not 10 tvachim high, it's not considered enclosed. You don't have to break 11, 10 plus. It has to be 10 plus open. So if there's already an opening which is 5 amas wide, so you break open another 5.5 amas. If it's 10 amas wide, you break open a half an ama, a little more, and now it's considered too large. It's porutz, and then you re-enclose it, l'shem dira. There's a bias besuach, and now it comes out that the bias was there first, without a hekif, and then when you fix the pirtza, you're enclosing it, l'shem dira. Kimin Zanifritz Kolkach, Lisbala Kola Machitzis, as far as we're concerned, it's not enclosed. Even the walls which are still standing have lost their efficacy, and they're not walls for this purpose anymore. So it's not mukif. We ask of Yigdal Hashem Kavanas Dira. Then you rebuild it, the Hashem Kavanas Dira. And even that, you don't have to reclose the whole pirtza. You just have to enclose it enough that it's less than a pirtza of more than it's less. It's 10 amas or less. Pirtza will then immerse the source of pesach shuvan or pirtza. So you could also do a source of pesach, which would be a valid way to enclose this area. Now that's a little bit. So by terms of Pesach, really, you can't theoretically. So this is the car, and it was enclosed, and there was no bias. So he says, okay, I got a problem. So he builds a bias. Now he wants to carry there. It's too large. He can't carry there. He says, no problem. He makes a pirtza here more than 10 amas. So now the area is not enclosed. And then he re-encloses it by putting something there which will function as enclosure. So now it's Hukal B'Shem Dira. So I could put a source of Pesach there. Now, but he also said, I don't have to close the whole area. I just have to enclose, make it less than up to 10 amas, including 10 amas, is considered a Pesach. So if not right now the opening is 11, I have to enclose an arm and a half, and now it's only 9.5 amas open, and now I'm allowed to carry. Now it's considered a doorway, not a pirtza, so the area isn't closed, and it was the same dira. What about putting a source of pesach for an arm? Right? I say I can put a source of pesach for the whole 11 amas. That works. I can enclose an arm and a half. That also works. What am I making a source of pesach for an arm and a half? Right? Instead of making a source of pesach for the whole thing, I'm going to leave. Right? So, does that work? That's much more debatable. In other words, when you have Avra next to the source of pesach, which is larger than the area where the source of pesach is enclosing, does it come and be mevatel the significance of the source of pesach which is there? So that's, well, we'll see more about that later on. He mentioned source of pesach works just like a wall. Well, not exactly just like a wall, maybe, because a wall is actually a wall. So I actually enclose that area. So now there's only 9 amas open. But source of pesach, in many ways, source of pesach is considered halakhically like a bona fide enclosure. It's a real enclosure. But there got to be this point, it might be different. So we'll see later on.
Could you build a house so that one wall of the house is filled with pesach?
You could do that.
What?
Right. Why should I just try to shut the door? Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So now, okay. So you don't have to, you can reclose the whole period. So, I'm going to just say, Ravim Loi Poritz Ama Rak Ma'at. It doesn't have to be an amma. It could be if you just opened up a 10 ammas and a tefach, you have to enclose a tefach. Visagi. Okay? Then we set a kula. Next kula, we think we set a kula. So I don't want to leave an opening which is 10 ammas plus open. Even for a short period of time, I don't want it open like that. So I want to open an amma and then rebuild it. Open the next amma and rebuild it. So like eventually I've opened more than 10 amas, not at one time. So never really was a pirtza there. On the other hand, there's more than 10 amas of this wall which were built post the bias. There was post, once it's already hooked of the dira. And that amount is something which is equivalent to a pirtza. And that was all built post the bias. That also works. Ashashima, the Yosemisar, Kachsar Klerber. So that's mutter. We don't argue. Well, you didn't open it all at one time. And you didn't enclose it at one time. Lahavi heka plishim dira. So each ama, as it was opened, what was only a doorway, it wasn't a birtza. So I opened the nama, that's a doorway. Doorways do not change the status of the wall. So the fact that I did that 11 times shouldn't change anything. But each one is only, it's not a birtza. We don't say that. Al-Kibin, Hishtash, Jamiya, Habi, Achidush, Shalheka, Vyersim, Esar, because the new wall, which is there, is greater than 10, and that was all done post the bias, so it's L'Shem Dira. Choshev Hekif, L'Shem Dira, that's considered Hekif, L'Shem Dira, and that works. Okay, so that was the Mechaber. Came to Ramah, the Ramah said, you know what, you don't have to necessarily even break the wall. The issue is, we said before, if the wall is broken down to be less than 10 tvachim, so that's not a wall. It's not an enclosure. So now it's open. So I can raise the ground and accomplish the same thing. I can lower the wall or raise the ground. I have to get it down to be less than 10 tvachim. But we'll see if the wall is more than 20 tvachim or more, even if I'm going to raise the dirt up to a height of 11 tvachim, that's not going to be an option. So the total height was less than 20, so the amount that I have to raise it to make the wall, which is jutting out, be less than 10, is less than 10. So that works. It works. It only works if you do mishteit stadim. Kadeshi is Baltal Machitza. Sarei Yesh Trises Haregel Mikarka Hakarfiv Lachutz the Karpiv. By raising it on both sides, a person can walk out from the Karpiv to outside or vice versa over the wall, because the wall is not high enough anymore. So that fact that he can walk over the wall makes the wall not an enclosure, so it's not a Hekiv. And that now it's Baltal. Achi Yismayit until it's Yismayit from Asura. I make a person welcome to the fritz like it's open in that area. And if the length of that opening is more than 10, it's a pirtza. Now, v'im ken yochel ata libnes shom beis dira, l'vtach shom pesach mi dirosei. So now that I've broken the wall, I put in the bias, either the bias or the access from the bias, and then I close it, then I remove the offer, and now the wall is back in play. The same dira. That's a cool way you can do. Now, the width of this dirt that you're putting there, so it's a length, the length of the opening, which is more than 10. But it's not a sliver. I can't just put a sliver of dirt immediately adjacent to the wall. It has to be 4 tvachim wide. Rechav arbo. Shach l'armer, rechav arbo. It doesn't have to be more than 4. It has to be at least 4. Tana pochav mi'arbo, eno roi lamed olav lihisake. Because if it's less than 4 people, you can't stand there. So if I raise the dirt immediately adjacent to the wall to a depth of going into the chotzer, 4 tvachim or more, so you can stand there. So I've raised the height of the floor of the chotzer. But if it's less than 4 tvachim, I can't stand there. It's not easy to stand there. So I haven't really raised the height of the floor. So it's just some dirt next to the wall. Then it's just part of, it's like a wider wall now. So it doesn't do anything.
So it doesn't mean you're raising it at an angle then. I was picturing it, like, well, this is the wall, we raise it like this. And the issue is the slope and what comes. I was saying that we're raising it like this.
Correct. Uh-huh. I mean, you probably would need
some kind of slope. I mean, otherwise,
it's not going to really work unless you have
the
whole structure there. So,
right.
The other system would work also, wouldn't it? If you build it on a slope, as long as the slope is sufficiently, whatever the thing was. No, as long as it's sufficiently steep, then it counts as a wall.
Right, so then that's not vital to the wall. The wall's already there. Thickening the wall when the wall's already there does not count, does it?
Right, so surprising that this is not called thickening the wall. I'm taking the wall like this and making it like this.
Well, that's the point we're saying, that because I can stand there, it becomes part of the floor. The fact that I can stand there.
So it has to be done from the inside?
Well, both sides.
It sounds like it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be perfectly flat, but it has to be above, it has to be within, reduce the the height of the wall to less than 10 fachim for a distance of 4 tefachim on either
correct.
Side.
Correct. Simba, the point is I raised the floor of the chotzer, not thicken the wall. How do I define that? If I can stand there, this becomes part of the ground. So it has to be wide enough that a person could stand there.
Right. His question is still pertinent. I mean, it's not going to be perfectly flat, so where is it? Where is that?
No, so that's the general dinner for what the slope has to be considered a wall. Yeah. So that then
mm-hmm. Okay.
We can do it. We also could do it this way, make it where it's too flat and it's not a wall anymore.
Okay. Okay, Baruch Esser. Now, it says it should be 10 amos long. That's really not correct. It has to be more than 10 amos. So, I learned Baruch Yosem Esser, the Ozlo Yechosh Pesach Ela Pirtza. I don't know historically why there's three times it's already in this if had to correct the language. Like, interesting historical question. Like, punct in this if we had multiple needs. Okay, we have to stop here. It's 8:25.